Amen. Amen.
That's what we sang before we did anything.
Mm.
The Lord knows what we need.
Amen.
He just
confirmed.
Exactly what he did.
Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and open with me to the Gospel of St. John. Gospel of St. John tonight. I want us to find the 11th chapter. St. John chapter 11. I want to kind of try to build from the message this morning. And I want to talk to us, if the Lord permit, if I could attach a title to this thing tonight. I want to talk to us about the do's and the don'ts in decision making. The do's and the don'ts, or the do nots. In decision making. I want to just read one verse. I want to read the first verse and we'll go from there. No, let me do this. Let me read the first three verses. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Thank you. May be seated. I think one of the things that all of us know is that as long as we're in this world, we will have to make decisions. Making decisions is just a part of this life. Some decisions that we are forced to make are easy. There's no struggle in it. There's no pressure in it. But some decisions are not that easy. And so as long as we're in this world, we will have to make decisions. Making them is not always easy, but they are necessary. And if we're going to make good, wise, godly decisions, we need to learn from the master. The interesting thing about Jesus is that he is our example in every area of life. And so tonight, I want us to spend just a few moments, and by the way, I'm going to kind of rush through this because I got to go to the water plant. We got major problems. But I want us to look at this text tonight, and I want us to learn from the master. I want us to see the do's and the do nots when it comes to decision making. If we're going to make good, wise, godly decisions, decisions that bring us closer to the will of God, and decisions that honor God and glorify God and are a blessing to folks around us, we need to know the do's and the don'ts. I want you to think about for just a minute. How decisions can seriously impact our lives. I want you to think about some things that are potentially could happen when we make the wrong decision. It's four of them that I want to give you, but there are many others. But one of the things I wrote down, listen, when we are making decisions that are not healthy, that are not good, they're not wise, they're not godly, number one, we miss the will and purpose of God in our lives for that moment. I have made some decisions. They were ungodly. And anytime it's ungodly, it's unwise. That for that moment and for that season in my life, I missed what God wanted to do. Wrong decision, bad decision. Number one, they cause us to miss the will and the purpose of God for that moment in our lives. Secondly, listen, whenever we are making a practice of making bad and wrong decisions, ungodly decisions, believe it or not, we waste some stuff. We waste our time. We waste our energy. We waste our resources. If you're not careful, you will waste your health. You will waste your good sense, all because you make it a habit of making bad decisions. Here's the second thing I thought about. Listen, when we make it a habit of making bad decisions, we could have a negative impact on people around us. Amen. No man or woman is an island. All of us are connected to somebody. And believe it or not, our decisions have a direct impact, either for good or for evil or bad, on the people around us. Here's the fourth thing I thought about that really caught my attention when the Holy Spirit spoke it to me. When we make it a habit of making bad and ungodly and unwise decisions, we open the door for the devil to work in our lives.
Amen.
We give the devil an opportunity. I have opened the door in my life. In these 53 years, I have opened the door by my decisions to the devil's activities in my life. If I hadn't have did this, he couldn't have got in the door. Your decisions, now listen to me, your decisions will determine what the devil can do in your life. And so, what are some of the do-nots of decision making? I want us to look tonight at the life of Jesus. I want to just give you three from both sides. I want to give you three do-nots, and then I want to give you three do's. Now, here's the first one, and it's right here in the text. It's right here in the text. I had never seen it before. Another brother helped me with this, so I can't take full credit for all of what I'm going to share with you tonight. But listen, it's right here in the text. It's so good you just can't. You gotta talk about it, especially at the new year. What are the do's and the do-nots of making a decision? Well, we want to learn from the master, because every decision that Jesus Christ made was totally in line with the will and the purpose of God. He never made a bad decision. He never made a decision and got down the road and said, whoops. Every decision that Jesus Christ made was a perfect decision. Now here's the do nots. Number one, Jesus did not make decisions based on the pressure of friends and family. I want to give you time to write that down. Jesus did not make decisions based on pressure from friends or family. Now I want you to think about what's going on here. Tradition say he's at least 7 miles away from Bethany. He got 3 friends that lives in the city of Bethany. If you read the text very carefully, you will find out that was a a loving relationship between Jesus, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Look with me in verse number 1 through verse number 3. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Martha and Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, now watch this, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment. Underline that. That's important. And wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, I want you to catch something that's here, even though John really don't tell us it's here. When they sent for Jesus and said to Jesus, Lazarus is sick, by the way, he's the one that you love. What they were trying to do, bless their hearts, they were trying to give the Lord some incentive, some pressure on him, as to why he ought to show up.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. Jesus did not choose to go to Bethany because of the pressure that friends and family put on him. Now, I say that because, listen to me, there are a lot of us, maybe none here tonight, but a lot of us in the church world, we're in financial trouble. We're having relationship problems. We got all types of ulcers and high blood pressure. And we're losing our mind. Because we are letting friends and family pressure us into decisions that we know if we would just take time, they're not the will of God for us.
Amen.
Jesus, listen to me. Jesus did not make one decision because folk were putting pressure on him. Now, they tried, but it didn't work. Mary, in John chapter 2, I think it is, Mary is hosting, or she's at least catering at a wedding. They run out of wine. Now, I don't know whose responsibility it was to make sure they had enough wine, but it certainly wasn't the Lord Jesus. Amen. And Mary, listen, Mary tries to put pressure on him. She pulls him off to the side, thinking, this is my son. And if he's going to do it for anybody, he'd do it for me. Yeah. Come here. We ain't got no wine. And Jesus said, woman, that ain't my problem. The literal translation, what he said to her, that's not my problem. What had that to do with me? Amen. And I come tonight to tell you, and listen to me. The Lord Jesus did not make decisions based on pressure from family and friends. He didn't do it. And there are a lot of us here tonight. We've lost our peace. We've lost our joy. About to lose our minds. Because we're trying to please folks that can't be pleased. We're letting people put pressure on us that was never the will of God that we be under in the first place. Now, I know that's good preaching. If you're going to listen to me, if you're going to be a good decision maker, you can't make decisions based on the pressure of the people that you love. Because let me tell you what children will do. Listen to me. Listen. Let me tell you what unwise spouses will do. They will pressure you into a mess. Lord have mercy. Amen. Jesus did not go back to Bethany. Jesus didn't heal Lazarus or raise Lazarus from the dead because they put enough pressure on him. You know, let me tell you something about the devil. The devil loves pressure. A lot of little girls get pregnant on the back seat of a car because some boy put enough pressure on them. A lot of young men become addicted to drugs and alcohol because peers put pressure on them. And if you're going to be good at decision making, you got to learn how to release the pressure. That's the first little point I'll come to tell you tonight. Here's the second, do not in good decision making. And we take it right from the Lord Jesus' life. Jesus did not make decisions based on the emotions of the moment. He didn't make decisions based on the emotions of that moment. Now I want you to think about something. Listen to me. Think about this right here. Think about what's going on. Lazarus is sick. His friend, his good friend, is sick. They are in a wonderful relationship with one another. Because look what it tells us in verse 3. He whom thou lovest. Look down in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So there is no doubt that the relationship is wonderful. Watch this. Not only is Jeff Jordan sick, not only do I love Jeff Jordan, but Miss Brenda has sent for me, so she's expecting me to show up. Let me tell you something. The expectations of other people will cause you to do something out of the ordinary. Amen. You didn't go because you wanted to go. You didn't do it because you thought it was the right thing to do. You did it because they was expecting you to do it. Number one, he didn't respond by pressure. Number two, he didn't respond by emotions. And a lot of us are making decisions based on how we feel. Based on our emotions. Amen. Here's what I've learned, Solid Rock. I've learned that 99% of the time, when I make decisions based on the emotions of the moment, it's not usually a good decision. You decide to do something because you, at that moment you feel sorry for that person. You ain't got all of the facts. Amen. You ain't got no word from God. But your heart is moved with sadness for that person, and you do something, you make a decision, and later on when the facts come in and God speaks, you figure out you've done the wrong thing. Amen. Amen. I tell y'all this story, and we got to keep it amongst us. My son Chris wanted a new car. And Matt and I had bought him two cars, and we bought Marquita one. And make a long story short, He didn't have enough credit at that time to purchase the car. And he wanted us to co-sign. Now, I made a decision early in my life, after seeing how it wrecked and ruined some other folks, that I'm not co-signing with you. I'm not co-signing with my mama. I'm not co-signing with my grandmama. And I'm not co-signing with my children. Now, you do whatever you want to do. That's Anthony. I'm not trying to tell you how to run your house, but I'm not doing it. Now, me and my son got a wonderful relationship. I'm telling you, it is a respect relationship. We don't always agree on everything, but we got a wonderful relationship. And I'm telling you, listen to me. I watched him as he tried to figure out how he was going to get that car. And my heart was just breaking. I never told Miss Maddie this. My heart was just breaking. Because the natural response of a parent is to help their children. Amen?
Amen.
That's the natural response. But we didn't do it. We didn't do it. Let me tell you what we don't have. We don't have the added burden and the pressure of trying to pay for something if Chris decides he's not going to pay for it. Now, you ain't got to take that. You ain't got to tell him that. But you can't let children and spouses and friends pressure you, and you can't make life-changing decisions out of your emotions. Don't you know Jesus was moved by this story? That was his friend. This was somebody he loved. But he didn't go. Not at that moment. Not at that moment. And all I'm trying to tell you, listen, you can't make decisions totally based on how you feel. Hear what else I learned about my feelings, Charlie. They this way on Monday. And they be totally different on Tuesday. Here's my third little point tonight. Here's my third little point. And this is important. Jesus never made decisions based on whether or not it would be easy or hard. He never made decisions. Listen, he never made decisions based on whether or not it would make his life comfortable or make his life difficult. Sometimes God calls us to make decisions that might cause some storms in our lives. Sometimes God asks us to make a decision that may cause people not to like us. He does. When Jesus told the disciples in this text, and you can read it when you get home, but when Jesus told the disciples in this text, said, listen, so we're going back to Bethany. In verse 8, listen what the disciples said to him. And his disciples said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you there. And now you going there again? Now here's what they're saying. Listen, in a thin-coated way, they're saying, are you crazy? They promised the last time that you were there that they were going to stone you. And listen, I told you this before. What they really were saying is that if they get you and we with you, they getting us after you. They really worried about saving their own bacon. But Jesus did not make his decision to go or not to go based on whether or not it was going to be easy or hard. And a lot of times, there are things that we know that God is calling us to. But we make a decision not to do it because we see some difficulty in the future. We know God is telling us to do this. We know this is what God wants us to do in this moment, in this season in our life. But because we're afraid that somebody may get mad, somebody might criticize us, somebody might stop having anything to do with us, we may lose a dollar or two in this investment, in this endeavor, we choose not to do it. And I can just almost hear the Lord Jesus saying in his mind, y'all may not go, but I'm going back to Bethany. I'm going in spite of the fact that they don't like me. I'm going in spite of the fact that they may be laying a trap for me. I'm going back to Bethany. Well, what are the do's of making decisions? And we'll close with these little three tonight. I'll talk to you a little bit about the do nots. What are the do's? How did Jesus make decisions? Number one, Jesus made decisions always based on what will bring God glory.
Amen.
Jesus made decisions always based on what would bring God glory. It was not about satisfying folks. It was not about pleasing himself. It was not about what was easy. It was not about what was popular or comfortable. It was always about glorifying God. Listen what he said. Go with me to verse 15. Look over in verse 15. I'm sorry. Look over in verse 4. Look at verse 4. When Jesus heard that he said, this sickness, now watch this, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified therein. Jesus said, listen, he said that the purpose of this thing was to bring glory to God. And I'm going back to Bethany. I'm going 4 days after the death of Lazarus. I'm going in spite of the danger because God is going to be glorified in this. God is going to be glorified in this. Jesus made every decision based on what will bring God glory. It didn't matter how uncomfortable it made him. It didn't matter about what people thought about it. It did not matter even if it would cost him his life. He was all about glorifying the Father. Now let's listen to me. One good question to ask yourself before you make any decision is, how will this decision affect the glory of God in my life? Will this decision bring glory to God, or will it bring shame to the Lord? Because God is always interested in his glory. And because he's interested in his glory, we have to be interested in it. Every decision that the Lord Jesus made was always about the glory that God would get. I want to show you one other verse. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. I want you to look with me in verse 22, Acts chapter 20, verse 22. We got two more and we'll be going home. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Paul is in Ephesus. He's coming to the end. Believe it or not, he's coming to the end of his life. His desire is to get back to Jerusalem and once again celebrate the Passover and minister to the Jews there But the man of God who's with him warns him in Acts chapter 20 that there's some hardship waiting on you in Jerusalem. I want you to listen to how Paul responds. In verse 22, he said, "And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." In other words, Paul said, "I don't know what's going to happen. I know they don't like me there." He said, "But I'm going anyway." Verse 23 says, "Say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." But he went anyway. He went anyway. You know why? Because the glory of Jesus Christ was more important than the discomfort and the pain and the suffering that he may face in Jerusalem. I come tonight to tell you, now listen to me. Listen, if you're going to make good, godly decisions, wise decisions, you got to do it because you want to see God glorified. You got to keep God's glory at the forefront. You got to make it a priority in your life. That means in the simple things. That means that when your wife want to fight the wife, you keep your mouth shut. That means, Miss Sheila, when the white want to fight, you keep your mouth shut. That means, listen, they're on the job. When they're mistreating you and falsely accusing you and saying all manner of evil against you falsely, for Jesus Christ's sake, you bear up under it. You don't try to get even. You don't try to get back. You just say, "Lord, I leave it in your hands." Amen. Amen. Because it's not about you. It's about the glory of the one you represent. Here's my second point. Rush to close tonight. Listen, here's my second point. Jesus made decisions based on helping people come to saving faith and growing faith. Jesus made decisions. Every decision he made, listen, believe it or not, was based on helping people come to saving faith or growing faith. I want to show it to you in Scripture. Go back with me to St. John. Look at St. John chapter 11. Look at verse 15. But verse 14 says, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Now here's why. "To the intent you might believe." Skip down with me to verse 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Now say all that says right here, listen to me. Jesus made decisions based on helping people come to saving faith and a growing faith. And if you and I are going to be good at making good decisions, we always have to consider how my decision is going to affect somebody else's faith. Amen. We don't think about it a lot because we see ourselves as independent and islands. But believe it or not, the decisions you make, whether it's what you speak or what you do, is affecting somebody else's faith in the Lord. Verse 15, one more time. He said, I'm glad that for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you might believe. It's all about their faith. It's all about their faith. It was all about their faith. It was never about his comfort. It was never about what Martha and Mary wanted. It was never really about helping Lazarus. It was really about the glory of God and helping somebody who would be standing at that tomb that was saying it can't be done. 4 days is too late. It's too bad. Helping somebody to know that when Jesus Christ steps on the scene, ain't nothing too far gone. Ain't nothing too bad. There's nothing too hard for God. Here's my last little point. And this is a good one. This is a good one. Jesus made every decision based on knowing who he was. He made every decision based on the fact he knew who he was. Go back with me to verse 25 and 26. He's talking to Martha. Martha tells him in verse 24, I know that my brother shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, well, you don't know who you're talking to. In verse 25, he said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe? Listen, Jesus could wait. Jesus could let things get as bad as they could get and make a decision to go because he knew who he was. Now listen to me. You say, well, how in the world do that play into who? To us. How do they help us? Because as a child of God, you need to know who you are. And when you know who you are and who you belong to, it helps you make right decisions. See, some of us are making decisions on our job trying to please a boss that can't be pleased, and we're making bad decisions because we done forgot that our Father owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle out on 1,000 hills belong to him. When you know who you are, and when you know who holds your life, it makes it easier to make right decisions. When you know that you have not been called to please everybody else, but you've been called to please him, and if you please him, everybody else just have to live with it. When you know that, it makes it easier to make the right decisions. Amen. I say this with all due respect, but I say it because it's true. This church body, this church family is some of the easiest folks in the world to work with. Ain't a lot of fighting. At least y'all keep it here for me anyway. Most of the time, everybody has a cooperating spirit for the glory of God. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. There's never been a time here at this church where I felt unloved, unappreciated, or unrespected. And I praise God for that. I really do. But here's what I had to understand. I had to understand that I have not been sent to Solid Rock to satisfy y'all. To please y'all. I don't say that disrespectfully. I don't say that because I want you to think, I want y'all to think that how you feel and your opinions are not important to me. Because they are. But they're not the main thing. My harsh desire is to please the Lord. Because I know that is the most healthiest thing for me and for you. Amen. My heart for 30 years have been toward that woman right there. There's a husband in the world that loves their wife more than I love Maddie Bledsoe. But the focus was never about pleasing Maddie. God is my witness. That's the truth. I didn't have to be married to Maddie very long to know that she's like me. She changed with the wind. Amen. And so, look, my focus was to please the Lord. And I believed that if I just kept pleasing him, he'd make her stay with me. He'd keep her satisfied. Some of us are trying to please the wrong one. We're trying to please children. We're trying to please husbands. We're trying to please wives. We're trying to please church members. When, listen, if you just set your heart this 2018 year on just pleasing him, just pleasing him, a lot of trouble that you're facing, a lot of turmoil that you're feeling in your heart will go away. Because our lives really are all about just pleasing him. And Jesus made every decision solely based on pleasing the Father. Let that be our goal for this year. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for this people. Thank